Do want to bring Christian greetings and welcome all of you here to this part of the service. It's been good to be here. As we think of the time of the year, yesterday was Independence Day. A lot of times we think of freedom, liberty. You know, this country is maybe considered a Christian nation, but during its founding, the leaders had a respect for God and His commandments to a greater or lesser degree. But under the guise of liberty, His commandments have been challenged through the years. You know, what used to be wrong has slowly been changing and becoming not only acceptable, but the norm. And even if it gets to the place, even if you don't endorse it, you find yourself in trouble. We've come to this place, you know, under the guise of freedom. I've entitled the message this morning, "Who Shall Stand in His Holy Place?" And I'd like for, maybe before we do that, we've got a lot of, just noticing the children up here this morning. Maybe the service gets kind of long, so maybe all those 10 and under, you can stand on the bench or stand in your parents' laps or wherever you want to. Let's stand up and everybody will help us, but let's sing "Jesus Loves Me." So all you children want to stand up and let's sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Okay, you can be seated, or maybe I'll ask everybody to stand. I'd like to, for you to turn to Psalm 24, if you would stand when you get that, or like to read that. Psalm chapter 24 is where the title comes from. Verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah." Let's bow our heads for our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for who You are, great and holy one. Lord, just help us to see ourselves the way You see us this morning. And pray that You might turn the searchlight, Your searchlight, into our hearts and help us to be open and sensitive to Your Spirit. Pray that we might each look to You and pray that Your presence might be among us here this morning. We just want to commit this service to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this message, you know, was born, I think, from a need. in my own heart, a thing, something that I've struggled with over the years, things that I believe we all struggle with. It's not directed at any particular group. You know, I believe we need it as youth. I believe we need it as parents, grandparents. And that's the desire for a pure heart. Is a pure heart optional? The psalmist tells us, who will ascend unto the hill of the Lord? It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. If you want to turn with me to, in Christian hymnals, to song number 387. Somebody give me a B-flat. 387 in the Christian hymnal. Mm-hmm. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigns up, missing me, my dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ did heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Is that kind of life possible to live? The life that we just sang about there? Is God holding something in front of us that we can't attain to? That's not possible? You know, how can we have pure hearts when everything around us is militating against it? When the advertisements, the pop-ups, the media, you could go on, all these things are geared in a different direction. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What is holiness? Who is holy? Revelation 7:13 says, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I think there's the answer. There it's talking about ones that came through tribulation, ones that came through these temptations, ones that had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 5:8 says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. They're pure because they see God. I appreciate what we shared this morning. You know, in wisdom, the part of us seeing ourselves as we, of who we are, seeing ourselves as God sees us, and seeing God for as who He is. You know, the pure in heart are pure because they have a relationship with Christ. They have a relationship with God. They're not pure in heart because it comes naturally. But they're pure in heart because their robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. They're pure in heart because they have hearts that have been resigned, hearts that are submissive, meek. A heart where Christ is on the throne, where Jesus reigns alone. A heart that is full of divine love. A heart that is seeking the mind of Christ, an humble, lowly, contrite heart. A heart that has a new nature, a heart that has a new name written on it, that new best name of love, like we sang about. Appreciate the one thought in Sunday school Brother Jerry gave. He said, when Christ comes into our lives, it changes our value system. Everything changes. Every command of God is a promise, and every promise is a command. You know, we can say that sounds good, that sounds nice, that's okay, but that's not for me. I can't do that. Or maybe I don't need it. You know, maybe, yeah, I'll make it some other way. I usually figure a way around things. Hebrews 12:14 says, Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Last Sunday, I was at OCC. I mentioned something about that last week, but you know, there were about 20 inmates there that attended. And the singing there was an inspiration to me. It didn't. There wasn't four-part singing, unless a few of us over there were chipped in a little bit. But, you know, there was a group there that was singing from the heart. No, it wasn't that beautiful to listen to as far as the harmony. But, you know, the spirit in which it was saying was beautiful. The spirit in which they were singing, there was no doubt. It was coming from a heart of gratitude, a heart of love, a hearts that desired, that were seeking God. I believe God was glorified. You know, there were two young men that attended that service that were planning on going home this week. And they gave their testimonies there at the end of the service. And the one said he never went to church till his grandma took him at the age of 12 years old. And he went a few times. But he said by the time he was 15, he was into drugs and all kinds of vices. And he said since then it's been hell. He said in the past 15 years, he said he's been in and out of jail 7 times. Now he was hoping to go back again. He wanted to do what's right. You know, his desire was to go back, to be an example to his son. But, you know, he was, and I trust he can be, and let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that have been touched by the gospel there. But it looked, to me looking on, it looked kind of bleak. Going back to the same place, to the same people, to the same friends probably. I had to think, you know, how easy is it for us to sell our birthright for a morsel of meat? You know, because we see some inconsistency or hypocrisy, a lot of times, you know, if we really take a look at ourselves, the hypocrisy is right here. But we want to point out there, we want to blame others for our own impurities. And we throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. In a holiness, when we think of holiness, it's pure. There's no, all impurities have been removed. You know, we usually measure or compare something. We put something up against something else to come up with a standard. This is at this point, and this is here. But you know, God is up there. He's holy. He has no one to holier than anything, holier than anybody. There's nobody to compare with. He has no one to measure against. The translation for the word holy that is used in 1 Peter is awful or full of awe. And that's one translation of the word. That's the way it's used there. You know, this Holy One only allows holy beings in His presence. And we're living in a society that is doing anything but promoting purity or holiness. How does it affect us? It is something we all deal with. You know, purity doesn't only deal with sensuality, but it applies to every area of our lives, our emotions, anger, and so on. You know, where do we find ourselves? You know, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's not an option. You know, talking to this side of the house, when we as providers, you know, when we head out to work in the morning, you know, what is our ambition for the day? Are we praying and asking God to lead us to some soul today, like the song says? Are we asking God to show us what He would have us do today? Or are we going out to see what we can find to feed our fleshly appetites? You know, we don't have to go out looking. It's there. It's everywhere we go. Do we see people or do we see objects? You know, lust sees an object. Lust is selfish. Lust is all about self and what it can get for itself. Love sees a person. Love sees a soul bound for eternity. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved aside, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Charity out of a pure heart. a pure heart. What is in the mind? What is up here? What the mind feeds on is what it is. It's what it becomes. It is who you are. And when you go into a place of business and you pick up a car magazine and you open it and find out there's things in there that are not good, pictures that shouldn't be there, what is my reaction? What is your reaction? How do you feel when you lay that thing down? Do you treat it in such a way? Do you deal with it in such a way that you still feel pure and clean? You can put it down when you leave? Or is there something there that's like a magnet? And how do you respond when you get into a place of business or you're doing a job where there are all kinds of obscene posters or magazines laying around? You know, God says man was made after his own image. Male and female created he them. Marriage is instituted of God. Do we see these things as Christ sees them? Do we desire to have the mind of Christ above all things? A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Do we love people as Christ loved? Do we see every person as his soul bound for eternity? There are only two places, and there are only those that have had their robes washed and made white, and the blood of the Lamb will be in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse if you, those of you want to, you're welcome to turn to it, or you can just follow, listen. 1 Peter 1, 22. Excuse me. I'm going to read on into chapter 2. 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Excuse me. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which, I'm sorry, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, and even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's a lot in this passage. It talks about, starts out there with the unfeigned love of the brethren. If we don't have that fervent charity among ourselves, how will we have it for others? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. I believe this means that we don't spend time talking over each other. We don't have brothers and sisters for lunch, so to speak. We don't run each other down and then get together and act like everything is all right. If we have a problem with somebody, we'll go directly to them and the spirit of love. If it's not big enough to do that, we definitely shouldn't be talking about over them to others. I have to think of the quote Fred Hostetler used to say. I don't know if I have it exactly. It's just from memory. But you know, the only difference between a buzzard and gossiper is the buzzard waits till his prey is dead to tear it apart. You know, think of purity in the brotherhood. You know, I think that equals love in the brotherhood. It means looking out for each other's good. It means defending each other. Of course, that's not defending sin. That needs to be dealt with scripturally. But as brothers and sisters. And we think of purity in the home. You know, not having the newspaper, not having news magazines and other magazines in the home. You know, these precautions in themselves do not mean that we have purity in the home. The absence of internet and social media don't equal purity in the home. And don't get me wrong, I believe as parents it's important. We're responsible that we have to have guards in place. We're responsible to screen what comes into our homes. But you know, we were each born with, if you want to say, a hard drive. We were with an internal memory. You know, we have pictures, we have videos that are stored in our minds. And what do we have stored there? You know, fathers, if when we walk in the door in the evening, if we're bringing content along that is wrong, content that has not been put under the blood, content that has not been repented of and confessed as sin, content that is not pure and holy, if that's brought in the door with you, you know, you may think that you're the only one that knows. You may think you're the only one that knows about those videos, those pictures that you have in the back of your mind. Those objects that you have let your mind feed on. If that's what's going on in your life, you know, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt what your children will be dealing with. You may fool people for a while, but you will never fool God. And you only fool people for so long. You know, purity is only possible when we love as Christ loved. Then we see people instead of objects. Then we'll take care not to put ourselves in the way of temptation. Then we'll determine ahead of time what we will do if we find ourselves alone in a place of great temptation. We will have Joseph's. Those that when they meet up with Potiphar's wife aren't willing to compromise their integrity at any cost. Those that, like we heard about this morning, like Daniel, that refuse to defile themselves with the king's meat. And praise the Lord, I believe we have Josephs and Daniels right here with us today. But it's also very possible that we have someone or those here that have yielded, those that are keeping those videos and those pictures stored in their minds, those that are bringing them into the home in the evening, that are keeping their home from being that light that Christ intended the home to be. You know, it's something that we all have to deal with at one time or another in our lives. And what I want to focus on this morning is that victory is possible through Jesus Christ. The promises of God are for you and me this morning. If you are living in defeat, don't stay there. Repent, obey, seek help from faithful brethren. You know, how are our children going to be able to get through these difficult times? You know, times when morality is running at an all-time low. Anything goes. Everything is acceptable. You know, parents, if we are going to be able to help our children through these difficult times in life, we must first have the time. Take the time to listen. And our children need to know that they can talk to us about anything. They need to know that we are genuinely concerned. And if we don't feel free to talk to our children, or if they don't feel free to talk to us, we better do something about it. We better, first of all, examine our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our spouse. Those relationships will have to be made right. The content of our mind will have to be pure. If it's not, we better get on our knees and plead the blood of Jesus. You know, if we truly repent, it says in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a beautiful verse, a wonderful promise. It's not just our sins will be forgiven, but we'll be promised there to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. I'd like to turn now, talk a little bit to young people, and still consider myself young. You know, we all face these struggles in life, decisions. But young men, you know, it's your responsibility to lead out in courtship, to lead out in times of discussing Scripture and praying together. You know, and if that doesn't happen in courtship, sisters, beware. He won't take the lead after you're married either. He won't lead out in that. It's your responsibility, young man, to set standards to keep your courtship pure, to protect her, you know, to determine in your heart that you're going to bring her to the marriage altar free from scars and regrets with pure hearts, that she knows without a shadow of a doubt that you love her for who she is. You know, I think these things I'm saying this morning, they're not new. They're not something you don't know. I think they're things that are so important, and things that society, things that around us, there's so many things militating against purity. And talking about youth, you know, I also believe it's important for us as parents to have time for our youth. And I believe it speaks poorly for us if our youth have to have a social at the gym because there's no one to host it. You know, maybe we're just too busy. I think we probably are, but maybe we need to do something about that. You know, there are many of you that do and reach out, and God bless you for it, but let's keep it up. You know, I believe it's something we don't want to lose. Whatever stage your parents are in life, you know, if you just have children, they will be youth, Lord willing. So, you know, reach out. And it's an opportunity to build relationships. You know, we need their input and they need ours. It's a time to build, great time to build relationships. You know, we need each other. You know, sometimes maybe out there, time spent together, whether it's a social or whether it's a field trip, whatever it is, you know, so it's time spent together, a good hard game, you know, we get to see each other, a different side of each other. And that's important. We need to learn to know each other. I'd like to turn now to the last book of the Bible. Let's go to Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worthy, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his name, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just give us a little picture of who God is and who we are, how small we are. Verse 8, it said, To her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. There again, I believe he's referring to purity, holiness. And it says down in verse 14, The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, last Sunday, Uncle Benny opened with the words, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, that's something that should give us courage. You know, there's something sure and solid. You know, the very first words in Genesis there, it talks about in the beginning, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And then the third verse, it talks about he created the light. And there's another book that starts out with in the beginning, and that's in John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Again, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You know, there's something solid there. There's something that hasn't changed. The commandments of God are the same. And that's something we can stand on. There's something we can go forward in confidence, with authority, like we heard a couple Sundays ago. We can know this is the way it is. It's not going to change. His name is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ the same. It's all about God. You know, man can reject it. Man can say he doesn't mean this. It's not for our day. There's coming a day, you know, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ. Only those that have that new name written in their hearts, those that are pure in heart, those that are not characterized by the idols of the world worships, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb are the ones that will reign with him. You know, Jesus says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, following Christ's ways brings rest. It brings peace. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Following his commandments bring rest and peace. We can claim his promises if we obey his commandments. And in closing, I'd like to read a couple of verses out of chapter Revelation 22, verse 10 through 14. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before thee again this morning, Lord, we thank you for your great love to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that your word is sure. And Lord, just help us in the midst of this world that we're living in to seek you, to seek to live lives that are pure and holy, and to be see people the way you see them, to have this, your love in our hearts. We just pray that you might be with each one here. You know each heart. You know each struggle. We just want to commit each one to you and pray that might each just search our hearts and that your spirit might work in our lives and touch our hearts. We just want to commit this service to you and just pray that you might be with those that couldn't be here for various reasons, health reasons. Especially just pray your blessing. Pray you might grant healing. We pray for those that are being persecuted for your name's sake, that are suffering for you. Just pray that you might grant strength and courage in whatever they're facing. And just help us to be that faithful light and witness for you as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.